Okay, praise God. Open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2 this morning. Amen. You know, the Lord is speaking to my heart about the value of families, the value of each and every one. And, you know, Jesus said that very hairs of our head are all numbered. And he says, we have, fear not, we have great value, more than many sparrows, he said. And the world that we live in today, there's a tendency for people to try to steal your value by words that are spoken. And God wants you to understand today that you're a value to him. You're a value to us. You're a value to your family, and you're a value to this world. No matter what anyone has said, we want to bind those lies and deceptions of the adversary that the adversary has spoken. Because God declares that you are of great value and that you're of great worth. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, once you ask the Lord to forgive you, the blood of Jesus cleansed you, purified you. Amen. So when I was looking at this, look with me in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. And the beloved John writes this. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This morning I just tell this family values. And we need to adapt, to accept, and then to avail, okay? So let's lift the word and make a declaration together in the house today. Repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God's called me to be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in each and every heart of everyone that's gathered here today. So, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. And when all was said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor. For we ask these things in Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen. So first off, to adapt, if you look with me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 31. The word of God says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Recognize he's speaking to believers. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So in other words, what we need to adapt to is the word. As we look here, we have believers here. He tells us, he said they continued in his word, and he said, then they were my disciples. A disciple comes from the Greek word mathetes. It's math, E-T-S, E-T-E-S, mathetes. And that means a pupil, a student, a learner. So as we're here as learners for the kingdom of God, we're all disciples if we're continuing His word and learning in His word. That's why He tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we're ever learning, but never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. I don't know about you, but every time I look, He shows me something new. Amen. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And if we get stuck in the old, we'll never be able to witness and manifest the new in our lives. And as family elements, as families in the body of Christ, it's so important for us parents to abide in His word, to continue in His word, to be an example to our children. You know, in this world that we live in, there's a lot of ridicule and there's a lot of meanness, and this shouldn't take place in our homes. Our homes should be a place of love. God is love, and if we have God in our hearts and lives, we need to express that love. And He wants you and I to know that also, but to do this, we need to abide in Him. In John chapter 15, again, when I was studying, I said, well, Lord, these are just familiar. And He said, yeah, that's why I wrote them. Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or He's the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. In other words, it's just not about continuing in His word. It's about abiding in the Lord. The Spirit of God reigns within us, lives within us, and we're His children. And He wants us to understand, like the Apostle Paul said, His grace is sufficient for us. And to adapt to this, if you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I hear the wind of the Spirit. Brother, it's cool or not, it's a refreshing sound. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, because they couldn't do it without the Spirit. But the Spirit giveth life. So God came to give us life and give it to us in abundance. And He starts first, He says, to adapt to the Word. And you know, if I think about, for example, an adapter would be something that's used to bring two parts together, to make it joined together. And as we adapt to the Word of God, we become in Him, and Him in us. Amen. Secondly, we need to accept His Word. To accept it. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse number 23. The Word of God says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Amen. You know, the writer of Hebrews said this, and he made it just a simple one. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the word of God says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Amen. So we're adapting to him, and we're as we accept his word. Amen. A lot of times when I'm studying the word, when he's dealing with my flesh, it doesn't feel comfortable. All right? A lot of times my flesh gets in the way. Sometime this week, we opened up a door, an avenue, and we allowed sickness into our home. I was sick for 2 days, and my wife is home in bed right now, sick. And that's not supposed to come near me. But the door opens somewhere or another. For every seed that's sowed, there's a harvest. Amen? So somewhere along the line, I missed it. God wants you and I to know that we have to accept his word. If we're going to adapt to him and abide in him, we got to accept his word as his truth. The prophet Hosea said this in such a great way for you and I as children of God, as he prophesied in Hosea chapter 6. I stand on this today. He says, after 2 days, verse 2, will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Look to the one next to you and say, there's something about the third day. The third day is a resurrected life. The resurrected life we live now and in the future. A resurrected life isn't just for the resurrection. It's now. And he tells us, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as a latter and a former rain unto the earth. You know, when I look at this, I think about seed time and harvest. In the springtime, the farmer plants his seed. The water germinates the seed, right? It dies in the ground and germinates the seed. It brings forth the shoot. But the latter rain, the fall rain, blossoms the seed that brings in the harvest. And God has sent us the former, but there's a latter rain that's coming upon the earth. We're living in the latter time and the latter rain. This is a time of harvest. Amen. In other words, we've got to be so careful as children of God, the seeds that we plant, for every seed that we sow, there's a harvest. So he tells us in Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Amen. So we're looking as, hey, as we're adapted to God's word, as we're accepting his word, this is a prayer I have for the families. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. The Apostle Paul said this prayer, so I can say it too. Hallelujah. And I'm praying for every one of your families. Not just your families that are here in this body, in this church, but your families that are your family members that are anywhere around this country, around this world. No matter where they're at, no matter what they're doing, we're going to speak this word. We're going to pray this prayer. And this is a prayer that the Lord said. He said, my prayer that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, that we're fruitful in every good work, increasing knowledge of God, that we're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience with long suffering and joyfulness, that we're given thanks unto the Father which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's the prayer. That's the family prayer that we're praying for. He says this. He said, when you adapt to the word, and you have to accept it. And once you accept the word of God, you can avail through it.
Okay. And the Lord gave me an area that he told me to go in today. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6.
Let me say this to everyone in the house. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. Temptation is not sin. Yielding to the temptation is the sin. Not the temptation. If you're driving down the highway and you're coming on the interstate, you have a yield sign. The yield sign means you have to yield to the one that has the right of way. And whatever we yield to, we give the right of way to. In other words, if we yield to it, we give it the right of way. So he says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 13, he says to us, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, whatever we yield to, we give the right away. That's why he says in James chapter 1, James 1, verse number 12, the word of God says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's why the Apostle Paul would say in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. So it's not the temptation, it's when we yield to the temptation. Well, how can I overcome that? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. You know, when we raise the shield of faith, it helps us to yield to God instead of yielding to our temptation. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we're here today. You know, the word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, ye therefore, beloved, verse 17, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So in closing, I said what I needed to say. John, could you do me a favor? Could you go and get the children? Thank you. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, according as the divine power have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. You know, the Lord has made a way for you and I to live a victorious life in Him. I believe one of the things the Lord is really speaking to my heart about today is it's so important what we yield to. I want to say this to everyone in this room. I want to say this right now. Let me do this. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I bind every word curse that's been spoken against every child of God in this room today. Words that degraded, words that devalued, I bind him right now. I bind that curse. The curse with sin was broken in Jesus Christ, and we have perfect liberty. I speak to the hearts and minds even right now. The blood of Jesus will remove it. Those lies and those deceptions, those things that were spoken that you would never amount to nothing, they're lies from the pits of hell. And I bind them today in Jesus' name. You know, the Word of God tells you and I, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. And today, the Father has laid this in my heart, that the family is important, but most importantly, God wants you to know how valuable and how important you are. That you have great value. That you have great worth. And you've got to get it in here. You've got to allow it to flow inside of you. So, just in closing today, he says, if you adapt to my truth, to my word, and accept it as truth, that you will have the power to avail. That there's no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up, you shall condemn. It's your heritage as a child of God. Bow your heads and let us pray.